it's not always
one God he believed in. We said, so do we. Isn't that amazing that a whole city believed in one God? So it shows us before Muhammad the Prophet, prayers, peace upon him, there was people that believed in one God. But they was called Christians. So it was some good Christians. And he accepted being with them. 10 years. But what is not taught is what he did in 10 years. But prior to that, how do you think his followers felt that he fled trying to protect his own life, getting out of harm's way, end up in a Christian belt, if you want to call it that? But he couldn't come back to help them because they would have killed him. But they was fighting the enemy. Some people lost their lives. So you have to say to yourself, even today, if a brother is leading us, he's talking directly to God, why he have to flee for his own life? Why ain't God protected his life? But that was the test to the companions. And the companions passed the test, brothers and sisters. Why they passed the test? Because they didn't give up. Whoa, made them loyal. So they stood up for what they believed in and went to battle because they believed it. But they couldn't talk to the Prophet, prayers, peace upon him, Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah. They couldn't talk to him. There was no telephone, there was no text. There was no mail going from one part of the country to another part. And if it was, it wasn't enough to keep them 10 years. 10 years. Isn't that amazing? So it was a test for the companions. And they stood strong. They believed. Test for Muhammad the Prophet, prayers, peace upon him, because he thought he was talking to an angel, but yet he had to run for his life. Fleed. End up with all Christians. Study the Prophet. He raised all of Medina. He made everything in Medina Islamic, and they believed in La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. The Persians, the same thing. The European Prophet was teaching all around that part of the world. How did he do this? Where did he get this ability, this knowledge? But they don't tell you about that. Everyone knew that the Messenger of God had came about. And when to Allah says time to move, he moved back and won the war. Is over with. He won it. And the king came to his stay that he was in the desert. He said, oh, Muhammad, there's no way you could have beat my army. You was outnumbered. You was outnumbered. You could not be able to beat my soldiers, but you have. Bilal said, I don't trust him. We need to slay him. He said, no, give him a chance. He said, I bear witness that there's no God but Allah, and I bear witness that you, Muhammad, is this messenger of God. That was enough for the Prophet. So he asked them, there will be no harm. Do not, because Islam is not compulsory, but if you accept it, make sure your heart is pure. It's not a suit of clothing. You put it on when you want to take it off, when you want to. It'd be better you stay in your religion. They converted over. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers, peace upon him, was offered some land to build his masjid. He said, no, I don't want to take your followers away from you. That's how much he loved the king that allowed him to stay in that part of the area. But when Allah called him, he came back and won the war all over. because the king felt, how could he beat me and I'll outnumber him 10-1. It wasn't about the numbers. It wasn't about their weaponry. He had faith in Allah, and he led his men to victory. So we learned how to stay away from war, but if war happened, we fight with God's name. And you can't stop a man that is giving his life for the sake of Allah. Yes, true story. But the point I'm bringing you all of this is that when you go to the masjid today, you see people saying all the wrong things that put you back into slavery. And I don't believe they're hypocrites. I don't think they qualify to be hypocrites. They just don't know. You just don't know, my sister and brother, that you practice Christianity. We're not against Christianity. For Muhammad the Prophet, prayers peace upon him, told us if the Christians are in trouble in their holy places of living, of praying, we're supposed to come and protect them. Give your life for your Christian brothers. They don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about that not only did the Christians welcome Muhammad the Prophet, prayers peace upon him, they welcome his nephew, I say, was a part of his family that he told go over the Red Sea and go see this preacher. They welcome him. Same thing. Here come the king at that time. He wanted them back so he could slay them. Pharaoh said, I can't give them back to you. And that was unbelievable that he came back, not by himself, but a lot of things was going on back that time. So these are all the different metaphors that God gives us to say that we are one community. That's what we are. We're one community. We got hang-ups. A man in a development of his family. Yes. He became a man. Because why? He makes things happen for his family. That's the growth of the family, the man. Then he evolved. He evolved to a growth of development of the community. Oh, he takes on a family, takes on a community. And community is big, brothers and sisters. Today, a serious problem is not racism. No. Not racism that is carried out from one race to abuse another race of people, like the black man, the so-called American Negro. These things happen. This is not what Allah wants for us, but he gave us a trial. These are trials and errors. What's happening now that someone is coming into our community and they're doing things that disturbs me. But it's amazing that this newspaper called the Muslim Journal, you don't even know how powerful it is. Well, today I made a phone call because brother that I pretty much didn't care for, and only because he acts just like Imam Waruddin Muhammad. Yes, I called his name out. His name was Earl. And he changed his name to Earl Abdullah Malik. And he ended up marrying one of the daughters of Imam Waruddin Muhammad. And then he became very close to the imam that they put him over top of international trades. But if you look in the Muslim Journal, you see his true history. He embezzled money. He stole money. He wrote bad checks. Even some of the believers of the community, they got a whole 2 pages of him, his history. But I want to know, how did someone come amongst us, get that close to the email, all this security? See, I was a security man. And sometimes my staff said, man, get back on there as the CEO. We don't need to lose you, but I can't help it. This man, I knew because he may have told me about him. He didn't want his daughter to marry him. But if you don't know these things, you get hoodwinked. You get tricked. You get stabbed. Why, brother, you become a man bamboozled you. I want to know, how did this man get so close to E-Man? And if you read his history all day long, he was an informer. What, to help us? No. To destroy our success. So they come in looking like us. I got so many calls, brothers and sisters, because we got men out there that didn't elevate to another level. All they know is physical. I had to spend almost 25 minutes saying, let that brother suffer. He plotting, plan a lot of plans, a lot of, but they don't think like that. And this is why things happen amongst us, and they make an example out of anyone. Anyone have gotten that close that could have harmed Imam Willis Dean Muhammad. One brother said, we don't really know how the Imam passed. And I said to them, listen, the 30s, we was physical. The 40s, we was physical. In the 50s, we was physical. The 50s. And that's what we were. We was like the Godfather, number one. Everything was physical. Until Michael tried to bring him into everything, every development growth. I was physical. I would hurt you, taught how to hurt. I was taught how to destroy and need no weapon. But when you come into an intellectual mind and you become intelligent, the physical, brothers and sisters, you don't care anything about that. Nothing whatsoever. Why? Because Allah is sufficient. That was a trial for us. And so the Muslim Journal, I want to, Aisha, for putting that in the newspaper. But if you didn't get the Muslim Journal, you wouldn't know nothing about it. You don't even know what's around you. Now, it just so happened people knew his level, and he got away with millions. But you got some brothers, is not stealing millions, they stealing thousands. They ain't on his level. The same method. And you got brothers that lying to the community. And you got brothers that you thought was good, but for some reason there's a problem. Now, I was with my email, and he made a statement on a brother that almost lost his life. A man said, let him have a piece of cheese. But he did a pretty good job. And sometimes you can't just erase that. You got to let Allah take care of that. But don't put him in there. Come to me and they said, you know, brother so-and-so is stealing. I said, you shouldn't have put him over the cash register. Put him in the bakery store. I bet he'd be a good worker because he ain't around his temptation. Yes. But then there's another brother is eating up everything in the bakery. He's a glut. I said, what should we do with him? Get rid of him, right? I said, no, put him over the cash register. He's not a thief. So sometimes you can help your brother. Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace blessed be upon him, said, you see your brother wrong, help him. And they asked him, help him do what? Help him to be right. So we can't do what we used to do. You can't say he was going to try to get rid of the email. Allah protect him. But it does make one think, how did he get there? Because you're all wrapped up on who can speak the Arabic, but has no track record of whatever they have done. Sure, this brother to another level, because he was dealing, he was willing and dealing, but he was doing it for himself gratification, so he wasn't doing it for the community. I think anybody that get caught doing what he's doing should be exposed in our paper. But if you come to me, brother, and ask me, you want to destroy him. What about his wife and his children? They have not done anything to you. So you can't come to me with that. You know, some people go and break your legs, or you ain't dead, and they put you back together. They sneak in the hospital and break your leg again. Can't condone that. I can't approve anything like that, because I try to put the fire out. Muhammad the Prophet said the ink of a scholar, the ink of the scholar, is more precious than the blood of a martyr. Yes, I gave my life for Allah. I gave my life for Minister James. I give my life for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I give my life for Muhammad Ali, Herbert Muhammad. I've always been in a position to give my life. I'm still here. So I've done things that was unbelievable. Muhammad Ali had love for me because every time something went wrong, I was standing right there. He almost fell. He almost fell, brothers and sisters, on the stage in Germany. Who caught him? I did. He's 6'3". He weighed 210. I weighed 160. I'm 5'10". Caught him under the armpit. Bandini went down, broke his leg. Ali went down. That was it. Wasn't going to be no fight in Tokyo. It wasn't going to, because that was our next fight. But that stage gave in. I was right there. Honorable Elijah Muhammad was standing over the grave of Sister Clara Muhammad. I'm right behind him. How did I get there? I walked into the limo and opened up the door and saw my leader crying. I sat front rostrum 27 Sundays in a row, and felt that I could jump high enough to stop a bullet if one was coming. I don't think nobody can protect them better than me. And I have to thank Elijah Muhammad Jr. back then. Yes, because he was in charge. He let me go because I got caught taking the post. Me and another brother, Brother Captain Joseph Four, who is his name is Yusuf Shaw today. So I've been doing this all my life, being physical. But I grew to the intellectual mind, and now I'm known in 200 foreign countries and 6 continents. You see how you elevate? But I have to thank Imam Waqfuddin Muhammad. He used to come to me by himself, sometime with his sister Layla, times with another brother, but he always traveled to come to me. That's how I learned the Quran. Don't you ever think that I wasn't protecting him. And so I had this conversation with him. And he told me about this brother. He said, well, how did you pick up on it? I said, I don't like a mockingbird. I don't like anybody don't have his own identity. He coughed like the imam. He leaned like the imam. He talked like the imam. And he was trying to be Wallace duplicate. Just so happened he didn't look like Wallace. Two different looking type of gentlemen. So I didn't like it. And I asked him. But I was not the security and I could not step on anybody else. As long as he's with me, I'm going to take care of him. So he knew I had love for him, and sure he had love for me to give me his time. And so today, these things are happening with us, and I went to the Juma today. And I don't want to say what masjid because I'm not here to point fingers. I'm giving you a point. And I saw this brother. I've been knowing him for years. He was doing Juma. And this man was saying things that I don't know where he got it from. The little things that disturbed me. I'll give you an example. He was talking to the brothers. His topic was, do you teach your son? Now, I'm on the front row. I just had to look back. Everything sitting on that floor looked like seniors to me, teaching kindergarten, care of your son. Now, isn't that amazing? He told them, if their son grow up, if their son, brothers and sisters, grow up and do wrong, then Allah will send them to hell. That's what he said. Their sons. Then he said that you need to teach them how to make prayer, how to be able to pray on their own. At least by seven. No, before seven. He said seven, then he said before seven. Now I want you to understand this. If that baby does not come out of that womb, for whatever reason, Allah removes them or her. Baby needs to be all the rituals before you put it in the grave and you have to pray over it? No, put it in the grave. Pray over what? The earth? That baby never came in this world. So it goes right to paradise. It's pure. It goes right to paradise. So when the baby comes out the womb, it comes out of paradise. Didn't have to breathe on his own, didn't have to eat on his own, didn't have to do anything. But once you hit this world, now you have to struggle. But there's no sin in a baby. 1 month, 2 months, 5 months, 2 years, 3 years. They're not of this world. They just learn what you know. You are teaching them, but they're educated. Who educated? Allah. They use their five senses. Oh. So why I got to teach them how to pray? They come to pray on their own. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers, peace, upon him, said, don't disturb your child. Making them pray at 2, 3, 4. And they want to play. They children. So they grow up not liking prayer. Oh, just the opposite, brother Imam. You try to make a child do what the prophet said you don't have to do. What makes them small in this world? They don't know nothing but mama and daddy. That's another thing. He said that don't let these women raise the baby. Now, he ain't saying it like that, so let me not give him all of the weight. He said, well, the mother's supposed to raise the baby, but you have to take charge too. No, you do not. You don't even discipline the baby with your verbal words. Put your hands on the baby. Why? We're abusive. We get upset, and you will hurt that. You will ruin that child's whole entire life. because of those big hands you got. So Allah says to Muhammad, the Prophet, get them children to the woman. She's the lord of the house. She's got intuity. Yeah, she may spank her baby, but she knows how light to spank her. She will never hurt her baby. It's built in her. She's feminine. She's fragile. She knows what to do for her baby. You don't. Leave her babies alone. Until they get old enough, then you move in. But he didn't teach that. He said they're going to hell. Now, how did he study Noah? Oh, Allah, help me with my children. Noah had more than three sons. Well, one son you know drowned. No, a few of them drowned. A few of them drowned. And he begged Allah, oh Allah, promise me that my family will be with me. Allah said, your family is with you. They're here on that boat. And he finally got it. A person don't think like your son, don't think like your daughter, don't think like your mother and father can be very evil. Take on that jinn. But them children don't take on no jinn at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There was a show on called Damon. That's the jinn telling you how Damon could be a devil at 6 or 7. You believe it. Now, raising them. Who else is teaching them? If that baby is a devil, of course, you made him a devil. You can teach a baby to do anything. It's like wet clay. So they want you to teach them this, you want this. Where they coming from? I ain't even one of the Muhammad's teachers. Now, you want to know, and I think you need to get it straight, brothers and sisters, that Imam Wallace and Muhammad teaches the Uswas Muhammad, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He does not teach any different knowledge. What they would think today, they can supersede unconsciously, supersede the Prophet. So they go off. This is what's wrong with the priest. He says he don't need two thrusters coming together. That's a sin. And he got little boys bent over. That's what happens when you get away from matter. Teaches this, and everybody on the floor, he's spanking the brothers about what's going to happen. So why didn't he spank Noah? Because what did Noah do to his son and his children that drowned, that wouldn't get on that boat? Oh, he was a prophet. I thought he'd go into hell, brother man. Well, that's what you said. And let me ask you a question. Who's going to spank him? Allah. Mm-hmm. And he said Allah is all seeing. You can't see him, but he can see you. But put it in proper perspective. No, you can't see Allah, but serve him as if you can. But no, you cannot, but he can see you. But Allah don't need you to speak. He ain't going to have no war, final day of judgment with his son. Where you get this spookism from? He never said you had two angels on your shoulder, one on the left, one on the right. The one on the right tries to help you until you turn a deaf ear. Something tells me not to do that. Somebody told me, who is that someone? That's the angel talking to you. You can't see the angel, but you have to believe that Allah gave it to you in the womb of your mother. What is the other one? He takes you to hell. How? He knows what you do in the dark. It's written. It's in your portfolio. Then Allah says, don't let it be in your left hand. And don't let it be in your back, or you're going to hellfire. For it'll be red and your lips are sealed. So who is he arguing with? Oh, this is so way out. And that's what's wrong. Penetrating in the Imam Wallace D. Muhammad's community. And those who, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said something very profound when we was coming up. He said, keep the foreigners out. I thought he didn't like the foreigners to our group and understood we fall in love with under likes attract. Because The Arabia, the Arabic of the Quran, is different. We in love with that, but we don't try to learn it ourselves. So here they come, and they speak in a language that you don't even know anything about. Sounds good. Yes, anything in the Quran is good. It's going to fit your nature. But they're abusing it. All this hell that's going on, people trying to pay their mortgage, people trying to pay their rent, people trying to buy food on the table, and you telling the sister, the brother, that he's going to go to hell if he don't teach his son. And he says son. I'm quite sure he means the daughters too. But no, I take that back. He specialized on the son. Forgot all about the daughters. See, that's what they do in Saudi Arabia. They put the daughters in the back. But yet, Hajj, she's standing right next to you. That's another thing I want to speak about. I want to speak about what Prophet Muhammad says about that. We say with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the Lord of all the worlds. We thank Allah for Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, the seal of the Prophet. We greet him with the excellent salute, the salutation, peace and blessing Allah be upon the Prophet and his descendants and his companion. Surely Allah Almighty speak the truth. We say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam wa salatu Rasulil Kareem. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sadaqallah wa deen. Brothers and sisters, we have to stop looking at other things. Somebody said the other day to me, he said, brother, how are we going to learn the Prophet if we don't read the Hadith? And then they said to me that the Hadith complements the Prophet, the Quran. Now I got a little upset. Sometimes that jinn will make you get upset like that. And I said, brother, you practicing idol gods, are you actually telling me in your mind that you strongly believe the Hadith complements Allah? Allah says, I created the heavens and earth and everything between. I need nothing, nothing. You didn't get that? Nothing of this earth that I created. I created just for you. But he needs nothing. Anything physical is not Allah. So you got to put this in proper perspective to see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to say to us. We're growing, we're developing, and we're talking about a community. Because we have a serious problem. It's not racism. No, it isn't. It's not racism at all. But there's people from a different race who want to oppress the black man. That's what he does. Allah didn't allow it for just to let it happen. It's a trial to us. And Allah knows those who are loyal to him and obedient to him. He will help you with that trial. That's why he created the angels way before we was created. And he said to the angels, you are created to help my human beings. This is before the jinn was even created. What was it, a billion years, a trillion years? Forget how long it was. We're talking about now. Also, it's recorded in the history. Yes. It is recorded that the Prophet said, Islam was El-Islam. El-Islam is the structure on five. Upon five. Five what? Structure on upon five what, brother? Sisters? We were given five principles. And he said, this is the structure of five. You can build a house you don't have the structure in place, the house is going to go down. You got to have the structure. And so you have to believe in La ilaha illallah. That's the first pillar. La ilaha illallah. Muhammad Rasulullah. That's your first pillar. Pray five times a day. Now, you don't have to do anything. Don't misconstrue. You can pray one. Allah will still give you your reward. But I'm talking about the pillars for you to be able to be strong in society. If you don't even know, you'll do five. You'll try your best, and it'll help you with Satan. Because that jinn is right there. You ain't got to look for him. And you got your own jinn. So you got to understand about charity. We have to give. Charity is a necessity. It's better to give than to receive, because if you can't give, it means you don't have it if you're receiving it. But to give means you have it. And then you can't forget the holy month of Ramadan. It's almost like going to exercise and getting in shape for the rest of the next year. When that's over, you ready. Yes. And you got to make a hajj. And these are the pillars that allows you to stand up. And if you don't stand up, brothers and sisters, they're going to crush you, because that's the structure. You'll lose it. You'll lose everything if you don't have that. So Muhammad the Prophet, prayers of peace upon him, Allah didn't have to teach him how to be kind. He was already kind. He was kind to people. How to be trustworthy. They were calling him Al-Amin, trustworthy. He knew how to give. He knew about giving. No one taught him that. Allah didn't teach him that. He come out the womb with his five senses. Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to help everybody. He didn't care if you was a back then you had Christianity, you had Judaism, you had idol gods, and no telling what else you had. He loved everyone. He didn't have to teach them that. That's why Allah chose them. That's why he's the perfect example. What makes him different than us? He never got out of his nature. His nature is Muslim. So our nature is Muslim, but we are not in tune with our nature. We have left our nature. So Allah created us to be a community. This is important. One Ummah. We're not one Ummah. But yet we say we got it, brother. How is we one Ummah? Chicago, you don't know what they're doing unless you read the Muslim Journal. You don't know what they're doing in California unless you read the Muslim Journal. You don't know what they're doing in Pensacola, Florida, unless you read the Muslim Journal. And if she don't put it in there, you don't know what's going on in Medina, New Medina. We don't know. You out of touch. Frankly, you don't give a damn. Simple as that. You don't care. But yet, we are one Ummah. You don't care about your Christians, your neighbors. You don't care about your Jewish brothers. Everybody's not no crook. A few people decide to follow Satan. And this is a myth that only 1 billion, 500 million people going to Jannah. 8 billion are going to die. Satan won. Allah created 8-10 million and 90% is going to hell. What's wrong with you, brothers? Do you really think Allah is so unmerciful that he would send his human beings, the crown of creation, to hell? If you don't wake up and get into that Quran and start reading Allah and all these other books, it doesn't make sense to me. That you're going to tell me what brother said. Brother said this, brother said that, brother said that. Imam Walid Muhammad taught the Quran. The Imam Wadhrati Muhammad taught the Sunnah, the Sunnah of the Prophet, the way of the Prophet, not the way of Abdullah Kareem Hussein. Musa Saladin. What do you need to hear that? Why would he teach you that? He didn't make his nature, he didn't make his jinn Muslim, but he teaches the Uswa Muhammad, the prophet. They don't want you to know that. They give you everybody, the Sahabas. 10 of them going to paradise, the brother told me. 10 out of billions of human. So we so happy that 10 Allah chose to go to heaven. Well, do 100 words and hand it in and get 10 right. You failed. See if you're going to heaven and you only got 10 good. You fail. You can't get in. But if you got at least 51, you made it. That's what Allah says. As long as you're good, outweigh your bad, you made it. But you sent everybody to hell because they ain't true. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Get this straight. A lot of beings of them chose la ilaha illallah. So Allah said, you will make it if you believe in the hereafter. It's right there in the Quran. Well, I don't know what this brother said. He said, oh, you Jews, Christians, and he named something else I'd never heard of. And said that to Islam, you're going to hell. And this was wrong with our religion. I believe a lot of them being paid, just like Malik. They being paid to come in here and take us another direction. But I want to say this to you, brothers. If you listen to me, I'm telling you, there's some off brothers, and they tell you they're trying to make that jinn Muslim, but they're having a problem with it, and they're upset when they hear stuff like that. I'm just thankful to Allah they call me, because I try to give them common sense. That if, in fact, you go hurt somebody over words, then you're saying Allah is not sufficient. Even a martial artist, you can say whatever you want to him. He a master. Give him 10 degree, highest you can go. He a master, but he will submit and bow out, talk his way out of that fight. Why? He knows he's dangerous. He can kill you with one finger. But you push him, and then you attack him. Oh, that's your ass. Sit. He'd take 10 out. You say, wow, this boy is a master. He tried to tell you to leave him alone. But why he's so humble? Because he's a master. And that's physical. Likewise, when you get to the level of your house, no. Your car, no. Your money, no. What is taqwa? What is taqwa? Your flesh? No. What is taqwa, brother? What is taqwa? You can't say you have taqwa with all these idol gods that you're in love with. Oh, brother Kareem. So many names out there. And you bowing to them. I'm telling you right now, brother, it ain't in the Quran. I dismiss it. Because Allah says nothing too small that's not in the Quran. Nothing too big that's not in the Quran. So Allah told Muhammad, tell him, Muhammad, you're going to leave him two gifts. Yes, Lord, two gifts that the prophet left us with. The Holy Quran and his Sunnah. The Holy Quran and the Sunnah. He didn't say the Holy Quran and Hadiths. Brother, I read books. I like reading Walt Disney. He makes men and women and children all ages feel good about going to his place. I like that. But do I study his personal life? I'm not interested. Howard Hughes, I like that. That man was a hell of an engineer. I like people like that. I read those books. It helped me a great deal. I want anything that's successful. Think good is Allah. But do I read before I read the Holy Quran? No. Do I base my life on their books? No. There's thousands of hadith. Only 1.5% is authentic. And then they say half of that is not really. So they're not going to send us the authentic hadith. They're going to send you something some man done taught you. Isn't it amazing that most of our brothers, our youngsters, are sent overseas? They live like them, dress like them, eat like them, and come back and find out they out of place. Where they at now? In jail. Where's the foreign brothers' children? In jail, doing their own drugs. What are they doing? Hanging around with homosexuality. They doing a lot of stuff they're not supposed to do. Why? Because they rebelling. You didn't leave them anything. You didn't care about them. And then you pushed them to be what they didn't want to be. Well, we was taught here in America, we raise our sons and we ask Allah to bless them, but it's time for you to leave. See, the bird, and these are birds, you stay too long, they kick you out the nest. And if you can't fly, you're a dead bird. I gave you all I can give you. Now you got to stand on your own 2 feet. You got to come to the second level of Fatiha. El-Rahman, El-Rahim. El-Rahman is the root of the word mercy. El-Rahman. El-Rahim is the root word of El-Rahman. What is it? Mercy. Who's the first mercy? Your mother. Who's the second mercy? Your taqwa. So you got to get to that level, but mama instilled in you why you love Allah. She had to put that in you. You didn't know Allah. You just did whatever mama told you to do. And then dad gave you stability in life. And we can't beat on them. Well, I got 8 sons. They all attacked me. I think I could stand it for 2 minutes, 4 minutes. But they'll get me. Why? They outnumber me. But I'm their mentor. I'm their friend. Yes. I'm no daddy no more. Well, they respect you. And I live off my reputation. I used to fight them all at one time. Hurt them. I keep my dignity. Well, I'm not going to fight them now. I'd be stupid to fight them physically. So this myth, you come in our masjid over top of Imam Water Steve Muhammad's community and you just say anything. And it has no validity to it whatsoever. Thank you for listening to me. If I say anything to hurt anyone, that is not my intention at all. I believe I love you more than you love me. You don't have to love me. Respect the Quran. Respect Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Respect Allah. Unto Allah glorifies his name. Respect that. Now you are right with me. You don't have to do nothing. I don't like to be disrespected, but you ain't got to love me. If I said anything that's not true, well, I make mistakes upon Allah. I make mistakes. Allah is the best knower. But I believe you got the point. But if I say anything to allow you to come back to your out of fitra, the nature in which you was created, stand up in your soul, stand up in your spirit, and come to your taqwa that reaches God immediately in obedience to God. That's what he asks us to do, to be obedient to him. So I greet you from Adam, our father, our biological father, to our father of the intellectual mind and all nations, Ibrahim. Abraham, some of you are out there. And to our brother Jesus, Jesus Christ. Yes, we love Jesus. And our brother Muhammad, the prophet, the seal of the prophet, and the peace and blessing of Allah be upon the prophet and his sickness and his companions. So Christians said, we give credit to Jesus, but y'all give credit to Muhammad, the prophet. She don't understand. Prophet that Allah created as over top another prophet. And see how merciful Allah is. We salute the seal of the prophet with the extra salute, but that's for all of them. The seven you know and the thousand you don't. See how merciful Allah is? We ain't just suiting him. We suiting Allah's creation through him. Because he's the perfect example. Not to the Arabs, not just to we African Americans, not just to those who say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. He is the perfect example of every human being, even if they are atheists. So you can't grasp that in your mind. Don't worry about a lot of our imams can't do that. It ain't for them. Allah don't give it to you if your heart is not for him. Where are you going to touch it? Your heart pierced. Now you touch it 1,000 times with your hands. That ain't what Allah is talking about. He ain't talking about no physical book. He's talking about your heart. If your heart ain't pure, you won't get it. I greet you from the language of Allah who created us, the system of all knowledge. The one that created the heavens and the earth and everything in between. Assalamu alaikum. That's his language. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Thank you for listening. And tomorrow at 7, inshallah, at 7 to 8, I shall return. May God be with you.
At Jared, we know devotion isn't a once-a-year occasion. And once the flowers have wilted and the chocolates have disappeared, you'll still want them to know how much you care. Dare to give a gift that lasts this Valentine's Day with our incredible selection of jewelry. From delicate rose gold to bold black diamonds, Jared has hundreds of pieces under $299 and exclusive collections you won't find anywhere else. Shop online or find a store near you at jared.com and dare to be devoted. At Jared, we know devotion isn't a once-a-year occasion. And once the flowers have wilted and the chocolates have disappeared, you'll still want them to know how much you care. Dare to give a gift that lasts this Valentine's Day with our incredible selection of jewelry. From delicate rose gold to bold black diamonds, Jared has hundreds of pieces under $299 and exclusive collections you won't find anywhere else. Shop online or find a store near you at jared.com and dare to be devoted.